Revelation chapter 18, verses 11 through 22. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas! That great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads, and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas! That great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. Verses 11 through 13. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise any more. The items of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet, and all fine wood, all manner vessels of ivory, all manner vessels of most precious wood, of brass, of iron and marble and cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense and wine, oil, fine flour, wheat and beasts, sheep and horses and chariots, slaves and souls of men. How obvious is the difference between the true, lasting value of our Savior's gospel and the corruptible values of living in sin and darkness. When there is no market, no demands for their merchandise, all of their wealth is dead capital. The everlasting gospel is our salvation, regardless how many or few or none will believe and obey our Lord and Savior. This long list of merchandise surely has a purpose and meaning within this book's message and teaching frame. One segment of humanity, the rulers, their life before Babylon's destruction and the reaction to the destruction of their great mother harlot is evident in the verses number 9 and 10. In these three verses, 11 through 13, we see another human group, merchants. My perception is that these two groups are overlapping one another. Some kings are in commerce, some merchants rule. Kings have their dynasty and trusted rulers, officers and governors serving under the royal authority. There are also local magistrates, public order security and law enforcement officers. Kings have huge armies and weaponry. The merchants have their workers, servants, and slaves. They have their supervisors and regional managers. It's a world of commerce where many of individual or group ambitions depend on one another or clash with one another. They depend on Babylon for profit, security, pleasure, and prestige. They are entangled in the harlot's madness of corruption and wrath. This world is under uncompromising judgment of our God's justice. They are idol worshippers. For the masses they exploit, none of them cares in any way other than to keep them under the yoke of the kings and merchants, and in their shackles of idolatry, sinful profit, and enforced regime and lusts. Their entire falsehood is combined with false religion. In many Bible books we can read of the distrust, treachery, corruption, and wickedness of the godless and idolatrous rulers. In the first chapter of the second book of Kings, we see the king's lack of care for the life of his soldiers. After the death of the first 50, he sent the second 50. After the second 50 perished, he still sent the third 50. In the book of the prophet Daniel, a king is just alike. In the chapter number 3, verse number 22 is this record. Because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't see any evidence of the king's regret and apology. Since he treats his loyal soldiers with fatal negligence, what is his cruelty for a disloyal one? An answer to this question is in the second book of Kings, chapter number 25, verse numbers 6 and 7. They took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. They slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with feathers of brass, and carried him to Babylon. All kings are responsible for their cruelty. The 14 items listed in the verse number 12 seem to pertain to the wealthy, luxurious manner of living. The people used to live in luxury are more likely to suffer more in the loss of it. I think the prevailing significance is in the symbolic number 14 or number 7 twice, indicating complete destruction and total loss for merchants, kings, and the great Babylon all together. In the verse number 13 is also a list of 14 items that point more toward luxurious and very corrupt nightlife of the rulers and wealthy aristocrats, mixing feasts, entertainment, fornication, false religion, and flagrant idolatry. The two last items are slaves and human souls. The ruling class has no decency, and the slaves are oppressed, deprived of all human dignity. The dragon used his devices like cruelty and brutality to keep wealthy and privileged from awareness of their soul's needs, that they would never seek and find salvation in Christ. The same dark forces oppress the deprived so cruelly to keep them under the yoke of slavery, social or spiritual or both. Our God often allowed awful calamities upon cruel regimes. The final judgment will be the most horrifying. Yet, out of the awful mire of human depravity, our Lord delivered souls that called upon His name. But all sinners, rejecting His mercy and grace in Christ our Savior, wealthy or poor, rulers or slaves, healthy or sick, young or in deep age, all are subject to the just judgment of our God. Salvation is only in Christ Jesus. Verses 14 through 17. The fruit that thy soul lusted after, and all things which were dainty and goodly, are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, decked with gold, precious stones and pearls. In one hour so great riches is come to naught. Verse 14 is addressed directly to Babylon of all centuries. This voice sounds loud to the entire humanity, but especially to all the wealthy and ruling men. Yet, only the people that have their true wealth in Christ are hearing these facts. The rest are made deaf by reveling in sin and darkness. Let us continue in prayers that our Lord give us ears to hear His voice. The merchants stand afar. They are not true friends of Babylon. They weep over their lost market. Babylon and her merchants know nothing about true love and lasting values. The true wealth is reserved for and given to the children of light. Although many of the children of light are oppressed and poor in Babylon's evaluation. The richest sinner is poorer than a saved beggar. Read the story of Lazarus the beggar in the Gospel. Great worldly wealth comes to naught in 1 hour. Our precious fellowship in our Lord's Spirit remains with us through our entire journey in joy and sadness. The moment we hear the final call, our souls are found with the blessed host of the redeemed, glorifying our Creator and Savior, rejoicing in His salvation, His victory, and His eternal glory and majesty. Verses 17 through 19. Every shipmaster, and all the company in ships, and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? They cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all men that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. In 1 hour she is made desolate. This is the third group of Babylon's mourners in this chapter. In this book with many symbols, the third group marks full list of Babylon's sustainers. The other two segments could hardly prosper without this third group, the traffickers. All three segments have so much in common. They weep over Babylon's destruction without any love or affection for her. They mind only their own loss of filthy lucre and evil lusts. How much their greed and selfish lusts of Babylon's mentality ruled their mind and heart is now manifested in their despair. They cast dust upon their heads. They scream and weep in agony of the realization. The great Babylon is not eternal city as they wanted to believe. She is the city of everlasting destruction. Her founder is the dragon, the destroyer. In this chapter, spiritual meaning, these sailors remind me of some shallow and false believers that boast of never accepting any leadership position in Babylon. They also keep themselves from openly making gain and merchandising on Babylon's market. But with their inconsistent values and carelessness in gospel applications, they promote dragon's evil, wicked prosperity. In the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the first two chapters, our God gave Ezekiel a revelation. The six following chapters tell us of Babylonism in Israel, the religious but unfaithful people. In the chapter 10 is the revelation of our Lord's glory and majesty to Ezekiel and to all the godly people of all generations. In the darkest hours, God's glory is brightly manifested. Israel's unfaithfulness in the prophecy of Ezekiel is a stark reminder to us today to beware of all forms and levels of idolatry. First Epistle of John's, chapter number 5, verse number 21. The chapters of the book of the prophet Ezekiel, numbered 11 through 24, say so much of our God's promise to judge stubborn rebellion and to have mercy to the penitent sinners among the children of Israel then, and among the nominal believers and genuine believers today. Chapter number 25 tells about our Lord's judgment against deep darkness, the nations once exposed to the faith in the true God, the same nations that have chosen their own way, rebellion. Chapter number 27 gives an illustration of an ancient form of the dragon beast. Chapter numbers 29 through 32 show us the Babylon in old Egypt, ruled by pharaohs. Ezekiel prepares us for this book, the Revelation. In the lamentation over Babylon's destruction by these bereaved idolaters, we hear the phrase, in 1 hour. That reminds us of the dragon's short time in the chapter number 12, verse number 12. The spirit of deception gives them expectation of Babylon's long duration. To them our Lord's judgment comes as a thief in the night. First Epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter number 5, verse number 2. We wait for our Master. Verses 20 and 21. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Seeing such calamity, what could be our motive to rejoice? We were the citizens of that Babylon. Only our Creator and Savior's amazing grace rescued us from the pangs of the dragon. Only the offering of the Lamb of God redeemed us and transformed us from the oppressive sinners to the persecuted followers of Christ Jesus, the only Savior. On our own, we could only and forever remain under just judgment of our God. Remember the encouragement of our Savior's teaching, leap for joy. Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 6, verse numbers 20 through 49. We are told to rejoice when it is just unlikely we would or could. Remember the Revelation, chapter number 5, verse numbers 5 and 6. One of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. When Babylon is still raging in her abomination and bloodthirsty persecution of us, the redeemed, we can rejoice in Christ. Remember the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter number 3, verse numbers 20 through 26. Nebuchadnezzar the king commanded the mightiest men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound and cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace in their coats, hose, and hats, and their other garments. Because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste. He spoke and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." He came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of God the Highest, come forth and come hither." Through the flames of raging persecution, our brother Stephen sees the everlasting flames of our God's just judgment and prays to our Father, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge," in the book of Acts, chapter number 7, verse number 60. Our Master's Spirit reveals to this brother and to us all that these murderers are only the victims of the real instigator and perpetrator, the dragon. Although we shed tears over the people's everlasting loss at times, we should rejoice for the overthrow of a system that only multiplies sin more and more and justifies our Creator's awful judgment, as long as our God's patience and goodness is calling them to repent. Yes, we do rejoice for every penitent sinner receiving our Savior's grace unto salvation. Yes, we rejoice with endless gratitude to our Father for His Lamb's ransom and for His just judgment of the adversary, the devil. Let us continue in prayers for our Lord's mercy and grace that saves the lost, heals the sick, comforts the sad, strengthens the weak, and raises the dead. He gives us power to rejoice in the Spirit of our God's Son, the only Savior. Verse number 21. A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all." Read the prophecy of the prophet Jeremiah in the chapter number 51, and mark the closing verse numbers 63 and 64. When thou hast made an end of reading this book, thou shalt bind a stone to it, cast it into the midst of Euphrates, and say, "Thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her." The suffering prophet's words were not heeded by the rebels, but in his words, the words of the prophet Jeremiah, have been the truth and the power of the same Spirit, the Spirit of the Almighty Creator and the Just Judge. And He, our Lord, confirmed it in this revelation to us also. Our Lord Jesus used somewhat similar illustration to keep us from foolishness of negligence and disrespect of His redeemed souls in the Gospel according to Mark chapter number 9, verse number 42. "Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in Me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." We ought to consider all his souls very precious. Again in the Gospel according to Mark chapter number 8, verse numbers 36 and 37, our Savior tells us, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the world, the whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" To redeem our souls from hell, our Redeemer offered nothing less but the life of Himself, the Creator of all of us. Our God's word will never fail to save obedient and to condemn rebellion. Once again, we are given an insight into our God's justice and mercy to receive understanding and power. Power to reject evil and to follow our Lord's guidance through every situation. Our Master is with us in joy or sadness, in suffering or ease. Our Lord's faithful witnesses have been preserved and sustained by Him. It is His Father's will to give us His kingdom. Verse 22. Harpers, musicians, pipers, and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft shall be found any more in thee. A millstone sound shall be heard no more at all in thee. Now let us consider this passage in this revelation, chapter number 5, verse numbers 8 through 14. When the Lamb had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before him, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, numberless. They are saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing." Every creature which is in heaven, earth, under the earth, and in the sea, the entire creation, heard I saying, "Blessing, honor, glory, and power be unto Him upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever." The four beasts said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped Him that lives forever and ever. This is our music. Now listen to the music in Babylon that is only for a short time in the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter number 3, verse numbers 14 and 15. The king said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Let us remember and hold firmly our answer to the dragon and his beasts in the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter number 3, verse number 17 and 18. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto you, O King, we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. We adore our God. All the gifts, blessings, privileges, and opportunities our God has freely given to sinners, they perverted, misused, and corrupted to worship idols and multiply sins they lust after. in spite of persecution and the affliction of exposure to their filth, our God's heavenly-minded children blend their music of gratitude and adoration with the heavenly praise to God. Earthly tumult will be silenced soon, to be heard no more forever. All the redeemed, united with the heavenly hosts, will excel forever and ever their adoration in everlasting gratitude. Our Creator has gifted us with many abilities to learn, many skills and crafts that are designed to bring joy and blessing to our life with praise of gratitude to our loving Lord. Misguided by the devil's deception, sinners believe that our Creator's blessings are their personal, family, or national superiority, their private ability. They feel no gratitude nor any indebtedness to our blessed Lord. The truth is that from Him and in Him we receive and properly, fully enjoy all gifts of His amazing grace. Sins lead to self-worship and idolatry, thinking that they can enjoy all blessedness even more if they just deny all the facts of our Creator's might, grace, and just judgments. That thinking is a satanic mirage to the minds under His spell of lies. Godless plans and efforts must end in total disappointment eventually, some very soon. But all are failures in the very core of their character. All godly labor is blessed by our Lord's presence and constant comfort and help, even while we face obstacles and Satan's opposition. We have the blessed expectation the Apostle Paul told us of in the second epistle to Timothy, chapter number 4, verse number 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. May our Lord's love be our first love permanently, that our prayers be always filled with gratitude to adore Him in the spirit of His only begotten Son. Then our enemy is defeated, and our Savior's victory is ours.